Hi, this is John Schaefer. You're listening to WNYC On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads available when you want at WNYC.org and iTunes.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed Hosting Services, providing application management, hosting, professional services, security services, and compliance solutions for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. It's one of the great curiosities of 20th century music. Ballet Mécanique, a 25-minute composition for 16-player pianos, electric bells, airplane propellers, an alarm clock, and a siren. It's by Trenton-born composer George Antheil, the self-proclaimed bad boy of music, who was known for once pulling out a pistol on stage. But the piece was so intricate and convoluted that it was never fully realized in its day being the late 20s. Tomorrow night, however, Ballet Mécanique will get its New York debut in a performance by a 25-piece automated orchestra. It was created by the League of Electronic Musical Urban Robots, or LEMUR. Joining us today is Charles Amerkanian. He's the music executor of George Antheil's estate. Charles, welcome.
Nice to be here, John. Thank you.
And Eric Singer, a musician, engineer, and the founder of LEMUR. Eric, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
This is a notoriously difficult piece beyond the capacity of humans, Eric. Why have your robots set to this task?
Well, when you hear the piece, you realize almost immediately how well it lends itself to automation. And certainly that was Antheil's original idea, to have 16 synchronized player pianos along with a human percussion orchestra. When we were called upon to do it as an installation version, actually Paul Lehrman, the person who revived the piece, was called upon. He called us to create the percussion instruments because you can't really hire a bunch of percussion players to show up at the museum every day for 2 months.
Right.
But beyond that, the robotic percussion can do certain things that humans can't.
Well, the piece is meant to move along at a pretty fast clip, isn't it?
Yes, and it's actually in the revived version, it's not being performed at the originally specified tempo because humans can't play it at that tempo, but the robots can.
Okay. Now, when you say robots, what do you... I mean, we're not talking about 16 Robbie the Robots marching out on stage, are we?
No. It's... We call the group... You know, we have the word... The name robots in the group, and we call them robots, but a lot of people would look at them and say, that's not a robot. That's not even a musical instrument. A lot of the times, we are creating our own instruments and making them robotic by adding motors and solenoids and things like that. In this case, we were adding robotics to existing instruments, though that's not normally what the group does, but in this case, that's what was called for.
So it's their automata is basically
they are. They are automata. Right. You could call them automata. You can call them robots. You can call them anything, really.
And they're unaffected by whatever wine you might be drinking at the time. So
they are unaffected.
another nice byproduct. Charles, did Antheil actually believe, because he did try to perform this piece in New York unsuccessfully, did he actually believe that it was possible to mount the Ballet Mécanique?
Do you mean at that tempo of 153 to the minute or something? yes, because in Paris they had xylophones that were operated by keyboards, so people could play on the keyboard and the xylophone would be struck by a mallet. But when he got to New York, those weren't available, and so he was left with percussionists who had to play with left and right hands and holding sticks, and it just wasn't possible to go that fast. Furthermore, there was no way to synchronize 16-player pianos, which was his original vision, so he made a version for four live pianos and eight live pianos in another instance, plus a pianola. So somebody was on stage pedaling the roll, namely George Antheil at Carnegie Hall on April 10th, 1927. And the others were live pianists, including Copland, Colin McPhee. I can't remember the others, but there were...
So a lot of the big composers
some,
of the day.
Some distinguished figures were on stage. And there was, of course, a furor because one of the composers' groups, run by Varese, had hoped to present this work, but another group had taken it away, and that was a publicist named Donald Frieda, who worked for a book company. And he made it into a kind of circus with a very loud backdrop and portraying the jazz life in a cubist form. And it was really corny.
Well, now, speaking of cubism, the great cubist painter Léger did a film that this music was supposed to go to. Now, that's another layer of synchronization.
Well, Dudley Murphy, an American artist and cameraman, worked with Fernand Léger on a film in Paris, and they did produce the Ballet Mécanique, one of the first abstract motion pictures, and a very beautiful film still today. And the presentation that's going to happen on this Saturday night, June 7th, at the 3LD Art and Technology Center at Great 80 Greenwich at Rector, which, if you find it, it'll be a miracle because it's in a parking lot,
smoothly inserted plug there anyway, Charles. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't work in radio for nothing. The idea is that they're going to show the film in a colorized version that Léger authorized and synchronize it with the music. And it'll be the first time ever that this has been done with the original version of the Ballet Mécanique. And it's great that it's happening in New York and that people are interested in coming. So we're happy about that.
We actually have a link to the Léger film, Ballet Mécanique, with one of the sort of recast versions of the score that Antheil did in the wake of his disastrous attempt to present the original. That's on the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org, if you want to take a look. Eric, I suppose the premiere of this is, in fact, possible because that kind of synchronization can also be automated. The film, the robots,
It can, but there's another interesting problem, and that is that the film runs about 16 minutes, and the piece itself runs about 23 minutes, and it was, as I understand it, Charles can confirm this or not, is that the two of them, Antheil and Léger, spoke and said, let's do a collaboration, and then they went their separate ways in the Dadaist style and worked on them separately.
The way Merce Cunningham and John Cage used to do their music and dance collaborations, work together separately, put it together, see what happens. But in this case, you have a 7-minute hole.
Right. And so you either stretch the film or you compress or edit the piece.
And which are you guys doing?
And I'm not sure which is being done because that's up to Paul Ehrman.
Okay. The performance, the New York premiere of this 1920s piece by George Antheil, the Ballet Mécanique, with the film, is at the 3LD Art and Technology Center on Greenwich Street at Rector in Lower Manhattan, and that is tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Here is a little bit of the piece. These are not robots. This is a regular kind of player piano with human assistance recording of a little bit of George Antheil's Ballet Mécanique. That's music by George Antheil from his notorious piece Ballet Mécanique from the 1920s, which is only now getting its New York premiere. We're speaking with Charles Amerkanian, the music executor of George Antheil's estate and composer himself. Eric Singer is the founder of Lemur, the League of Electronic Musical Urban Robots, who are performing the piece. He's a musician as well. And this recording, Charles, it's the live performance will be much faster.
That's right. This is on the slow side. These are people playing, and it's on the slow side, and I prefer it faster, and I think it's exciting to hear it faster. This piece of music is going to follow a performance of Frequency Hopping, which is a play that's running all month at this same theater. It's by Elise Singer, and it's a brilliant sort of reminiscence about Hedy Lamarr and George Antheil together inventing a World War II radio-directed torpedo that shoots down Nazi airplanes. And they patented this, and it was a serious project. This is the first time that actually somebody's done a theater piece about it, and I saw it last night for the first time. I must say it was quite brilliant.
Now, when Hedy Lamarr passed away, which wasn't too long ago, it was mentioned in her biography that, you know, in passing, that she had for a while been associated with or the girlfriend of George Antheil. The fact is the two of them did some amazing work together. As you say, they got a patent for this radio-controlled weapon that they developed. How did George Antheil get the reputation for being the bad boy of music in the 20s?
Well, he simply wrote music that was more radical than any previously written. He took the idea of La Noce of Stravinsky, which has repetitions with displaced accents and percussion and multiple pianos, and expanded it in a sort of exaggerated way so that the repetition presages Steve Reich and Phil Glass. I mean, it's really obsessive repetition in some of these segments of the Ballet Mécanique in the original version, which is hardly known today.
Right. Now, he, in his autobiography, which I think you have to take with a large grain of salt.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of truth in there, and he got in trouble for the true parts, too. He told a lot of stories on his friends and that he wished he hadn't told.
Well, in his autobiography, which is called Bad Boy of Music, George Antheil writes that he was born across the street from a very noisy machine shop in Trenton. Is that what's happening in Ballet Mécanique?
Well, you know, in the 20s, you had already the futurist movement in several parts of Europe and Russia, and other tendencies toward glorifying the machine. And I think there was a kind of new, hard, cold aesthetic that came out of the revulsion that young people felt after World War I and the senseless loss of lives. And George was active in Berlin in 1922 when there was terrible inflation and people were starving, and really there was no money to be made being an artist, so they just did what they wanted to do, and thus Dada and Surrealism and all these other forms that had to do with the deep psychology or absolute exhibitionistic ranting came to the fore.
And was the machine seen as a kind of you know, the epitome of the dystopia that society was kind of slouching towards? Is that, you know, there
no,
does...
No, I think it was. I think the idea was that machines are beautiful and they have something to say if you look at them carefully. The way when you listen to In C by Terry Riley, you see two notes and you listen to them over and over again. The same thing with machine parts, as in the film Ballet Mécanique. You see a lot of mechanical parts.
Of repetition.
That's right.
Of levers moving and things like
so,
that.
So, no, it wasn't anything to do about despair. It was more about the hope for the future, that music could be more than just sentimentalized Wagnerian excess.
So the presence of a siren, which at the time would have been, you know, kind of an alarming sound. This is post-World War I. An air raid siren did not have good connotations.
No, and unfortunately at Carnegie Hall they couldn't figure out how to turn it off and they hadn't rehearsed it. So they cranked it up and cranked it up and it didn't do anything. And then as the audience started to applaud, it came on and then wouldn't turn off, and the audience just walked out, and it was a big bust.
Eric Singer, yes. What will your robots be doing with the propellers and the siren that's called for in this piece? Those are automated now?
Yeah, everything in the piece is automated now. It literally, you press the start button on the computer, and it plays itself. And it did this twice a day, every day in D.C. for about 2.5 months. It was shown at the National Gallery of Art there. And, you know, I have to say the alarm was very alarming the first time we set it off in the gallery. I think a lot of people stopped in their tracks.
Like, yeah.
What?
Now, do you see George Antheil, I mean, as someone who has invented a league of electronic musical urban robots, do you see Antheil as a kind of precursor, a kind of musical uncle?
Well, I mean, he was certainly forward thinking about where music could go and how machines could be used in the creation of music. And, you know, one thing I say about what we do, because there's sometimes there's controversy about machines and music is, you know, I don't say that robots play better or worse than humans. They just play differently. And so composers can take advantage of these different properties. And we have people come in and compose for the instruments all the time. And what's funny, actually, is that we have a noisy machine shop below our performance and composition space. And I wonder if perhaps that might influence some of the composers who come in.
Uh-huh. Now, what is this production? What will it look like? I mean, not the movie, which mm-hmm. Charles has already described. What will be on stage? What will people see?
Well, there are 8 player pianos provided by Yamaha, and those are Yamaha Discclaviers.
So these are digital player pianos?
Well, they're actual player pianos. They're digital in the sense that you send a digital signal to them, but they do play themselves. The keys move up and down, and they mm-hmm. are real pianos, and they can be played by people as well. So there are these 8 pianos, and everything is the rigging that has been done for the set of the play is really very dramatic. Some of the pianos have been hung from the ceiling. The xylophones have been hung. The bass drums have been hung. So there will be in this production 8 pianos, 2 xylophones, 4 bass drums, a gong, 7 doorbells, and 3 electric fans that we use to simulate the airplane propellers that were called for in the score.
It's very dramatic to see them hanging there in black space and then the projections hitting them. I was very taken with the way it was installed.
All right, so that's the Ballet Mécanique by George Antheil. Performance tomorrow night at 8 at the 3LD Art and Technology Center on Greenwich Street near Rector. Charles, I don't want to give people the idea that this is all that George Antheil did was, you know, these kind of crazy pieces with air raid sirens and airplane propellers. I mean, he certainly obviously did that. But at some point, he did move to Hollywood, you know, took up with Hedy Lamarr, as we mentioned earlier, and created some completely strikingly different music. Tell us a little bit about what happened there, and, you know, were there cries of sellout when he did that?
Well, yes, and he did it to support himself so he could write his concert music, and he was, in 1948, the third or fourth most played composer in America. He was literally on the level of John Adams or Copland or any of those people, and having his pieces played by symphony orchestras all across the country, so the major conductors were all vying for premieres of his pieces, as they were for the symphonies of Prokofiev and Shostakovich at the same time. And there's a lot of information about Antheil on the website of the organization I run called Other Minds, and I would point people to radiom.org, radiom.org, which is where we have interviews with Antheil and a lot of recordings of programs about his life, because that is all forgotten now in light of the fact that he did this invention with Hedy Lamarr and that he did the Ballet Mécanique, but there's a lot more to the story. And I would advise people to read Bad Boy of Music, which still is in print.
Which is entertaining, for all that it might not be chapter and verse true.
It's absolutely one of the best autobiographies of a composer. And I'm actually here as the artistic director of Other Minds, and I've curated a whole concert of music for this occasion that has other composers like Lucas Ligeti and Harris Wolfson and Luke Thomas Taylor who have written music in the tradition of Antheil.
In other words, incorporating like robotic or automated, like Joshua Fried is part of this
and
event
Joshua
too.
Fried is going to be doing something too.
He has these shoes that you hit shoes and it triggers sounds and stuff.
So these instruments will be used in various configurations, not just for Antheil, but for these other composers as well.
All right, now just put Antheil in his historic place for us as part of one of a long line of American maverick composers.
Well, Other Minds was named after the obituary that appeared in the New Yorker in 1992 when John Cage passed away, and it was a very sarcastic notice that said that he was a person who composed music in other people's minds. And we took that as a kind of a challenge to find people like Antheil, like, let's say, Conlon Nancarrow, and other composers who had done things with technology, with the future of music, that had gone unrecognized. And so I would say Antheil is one of the people who was in that sort of American experimental tradition of Varese and some of the other composers who really changed the course of American music and who were unrecognized right through the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, it's taken a long time, but George Antheil's Ballet Mécanique makes its New York debut tomorrow night at 8 p.m. as part of this concert at the 3LD Art and Technology Center on Greenwich Street. Lemur, the League of Electronic Musical Urban Robots, will perform the Ballet Mécanique. Eric Singer is the founder of Lemur. Charles Amerkanian is the music executor of Antheil's estate. Gentlemen, to the two of you, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, John. Great pleasure, John, to be on your program.
Well, that'll do it for today. On Monday, music critic David Brown talks about his new biography of the band Sonic Youth, and maybe he'll explain why the band is releasing that CD at Starbucks. Also Monday, veteran musician and producer T-Bone Burnett. He refuses to see High Fidelity die without a fight. He'll tell us about his mission and his new album. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Bill Bowen. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow, and we had help today from Richard Rusinkovich. I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend, and join us again at this time on Monday for another Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM, WNYC. Thanks for listening to WNYC On Demand. Please check out our other programs at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This free service is made possible by our listeners. Become a member of WNYC today.